the right hash mark, being pressured from behind by Justin Smith. They've got him! Justin Smith sacks him inside the 10.
Hi, this is Justin Smith. You're listening to 49ers Radio, the official podcast of the San Francisco 49ers.
We're back. More 49ers Radio all up in your ear. Taylor Price, senior reporter of your San Francisco 49ers. And I'm hyped today, guys. I know we're going to have a great show. We have Andrew Pentis. Raise the roof. He's in the house.
Woo-hoo.
And Eric Stark, crushing it. The content king of the 49ers universe.
Hello.
What's up, man?
How's it going?
I'm great. We just had a heated debate in the hallway, and it was really interesting. And I just want to start the show with that, because we'll get to the football game. We'll talk about the first win at Levi's Stadium. We'll talk about the trip to Houston. We'll get to all that. But first, you guys were going at it in the hallway there, talking about airline seats, reclining or not reclining. What's the policy there? What's the protocol? What's the etiquette there? And I say recline.
So we should say first off that our digital media contributor, Tyler Emmerich, who made his podcast debut last week, is a 6'5" gentleman.
He's 6'5"?
He's 6'5".
I thought it was like 6'2"-ish.
Oh, I'm 6'1". He towers over me. So
big dude.
It comes from him, his sore knees, this whole discussion. We should say that first. Second, apparently he travels a lot, and he experiences this issue. He tweeted something that irked me, because I agree with you, Taylor. You should be able to recline. Where I would part ways with you is that you don't recline without being forced to recline. And being forced to recline is the person in front of you reclines. Then you need more space, so then you're allowed to recline. From the first row of the plane to the back row of the plane, it should be a domino effect. If people want to recline. If they don't want to recline, then no one reclines.
So you're saying you're only allowed to recline if the person in front of you reclines.
Absolutely.
So the people at the front of the plane get to dictate what all 200 people behind them do with their relaxation time.
Absolutely.
Well,
I disagree with that point.
I can speak to this phenomenon here. When you travel with the 49ers, which I have done for the last few years, ding, 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 ring the bell, the self-worth bell there. No, what really happens is you have a laptop in front of you, and you need to type up some articles, you need to post things on the website, and if the person behind you is leaning back on you, that's going to crush your screen and your wiggle room there, so you need to move back as well. And then there's times where you were just running around the stadium, getting quotes, writing articles, doing some video stuff, tweeting, the rigors of Twitter. You need to relax no matter what. And when that ice cream sundae buffet tray comes down, you're going to give me one of those, please, as well. So got to take care of yourself on these trips. Whether you're just traveling for your own, you know, you don't know the people behind you. So who cares if you recline?
It's a different dynamic when you're traveling for the 49ers because the person sitting in front of you and behind you is a coworker.
Yeah.
So that affects it.
Well, Rob Alberino used to sit in front of me last year, and Rob would always recline without question. He was working on his videos. He was watching some old comedies. I won't blow a spot too much. I don't want to say too much about what he does. But the big dog was reclining, so I think we follow the leader. And we can recline. It's okay, guys.
I had Rob pegged as a recliner.
He was a recliner. So, great topic to start this week's podcast. And I know you guys are fired up to get here on the iTunes channel, talk about what's going on with the Niners. We won our first game of the preseason. The great thrill of victory. Winning. Nothing makes you feel better than getting a victory. Even in the preseason, where, you know, there were some questions about what this team was doing, how they were progressing as an offense. And the Kaepernick-led offense, the first team unit, did not score a touchdown. They did get a field goal. But I think this game was more about Blaine Gabbert. We saw Blaine Gabbert take a step and get into the end zone and make some nice plays, some great throws. The one to Bruce Ellington, I thought, was sharp. It was low. It was well-timed. It was a nice throw. And just like to see that Vance McDonald, too, got in the action. I know you wrote about this, Andrew. It was his first touchdown ever with the 49ers. And what did he do after he got in the end zone?
Naturally, he spiked the ball. Unnaturally, he spiked the ball right into a photographer on the sideline.
No paparazzi.
Which he felt bad about. He said he would write an apology letter to said photographer.
Handwritten?
Handwritten.
Wow.
So hopefully...
That's awful.
Maybe we should try and track down a copy of that letter.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
Always thinking content. That's my guy right there.
Nice.
Stark, what'd you take away from this game? I think it was exciting. We saw some great things on the video boards. It was a great production from Rob Alberino and his group. But your takeaways from what you saw on the field, maybe your favorite player moment in this game.
Oh, man. What stands out to me is the Clinton Patton moment with...
Oh, yeah.
Made a great 10-yard reception. Helmet came off, and he was just digging it with the fans at Levi's. And I think that's some of the loudest I've heard that section at the stadium yet, so that was definitely a highlight moment. But no, it was good to see. It was good to see us get in the end zone there for the first time and get that first win at Levi's Stadium. Blaine Gabbert showed some good things, and I think I'm ready for the regular season.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And we all are, but there's one more game left to play. Houston, Thursday. We are going back to Texas. And it's going to be a short turnaround. We're going to see Jadeveon Clowney, the number one overall draft pick for the Houston Texans. And we're going to see that big stadium, the Houston Reliant Stadium with the big Jumbotron. I know Michael Blevins fired up, our video producer. He's from H-Town. He's going to be showing us all around town, I think, I hope. But no, really, we're excited for this last game because it's one last opportunity to sort of tie up loose ends with these position battles. What's going to happen at some of these reserve cornerback spots, some of these special teams, coverage type of roles. That's what I'm going to be looking for, is who's lining up with those first punt and kickoff teams. That really tells you how those final roster cuts are really, really taking shape. So I know we're looking forward to it, and Andrew, you'll be there with me. Scott Kegley pulling the veteran move. He's going to be staying back, hanging out in the Bay Area, covering the game from home with Eric. But Houston's a great place, and it's a great opportunity for these young guys. I have a good feeling that Kaepernick, well, we already know he's gonna play in this game, but you'll barely see Cap break a sweat in this game. It's all about Gabbert, Josh Johnson at quarterback, and letting these young bucks make their case to be on the 53-man roster.
Taylor, you mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. I'm curious to see if J.J. Watt will play. I was watching Hard Knocks the other night when Falcons offensive line coach Mike Tice delivered the news to his linemen that Watt would not play in their exhibition game. I think if you delivered that news to the 49ers offensive line, they would feel the same way, disappointed that they wouldn't get to go against Watt. But it'll nice to see another group of players in a different uniform that are talented, especially along that defensive line. And as far as the roster battles, Josh Johnson is still here. Jim Harbaugh has said he likes what he's seen from Blaine Gabbert, but Josh Johnson is still here, and that job is, as far as we know, is up for grabs. So Kaepernick will play, but Gabbert and Johnson are going to get the majority of the snaps, so let's see how they do. If Josh Johnson plays lights out, does he make the decision harder for the 49ers?
That's a great point. I would tee up Stark for his commentary, but we know how he feels about the preseason. Stark is looking at Dallas. He's got his hands in on the ground there, thinking about things that we're going to be posting next week for that Dallas game. And I don't want to say too much. I'm just going to say the real Michael Crabtree is coming.
Give him the hashtag.
Just the hashtag, the real Michael Crabtree is coming. So just put that out there into the internet world one more time. Just mention that. And let's move on. Let's not get into that right now. Okay. You guys sent us some Twitter questions, hashtag 49ers Radio, and we have some good stuff. I said, hey, send us some non-football stuff, as you heard from the airline reclining commentary to start the show. You know, we're not just here to talk about football, we talk about everything. We have these great conversations in the halls here at the 49ers Studios Centerplex. I don't know if that's a word, I just made that up, but the center of the world where we come up with all our content. So some great Twitter questions, and let's get right to them. Chase Newman wants to know, do we think Carlos Hyde will be the number two running back? He's so excited to watch. And I think you meant to say he's so exciting to watch, but we'll save you from Andrew's wrath right now. The answer to the question is most likely yes, because Michael James is just bouncing back from injury. He looked pretty tough out there at the Levi Stadium turf, just, you know, dealing with that game, his first game back since he dislocated his elbow. He was sticking his nose in there, making some nice blitz pickups. But Carlos Hyde has averaged almost 6 yards per carry in the preseason, and like what we're seeing from him, he's a difference maker. And so Frank Gore needs to take a little breather in the game. Carlos Hyde is right then and there. So, you know, I don't know if you're going to put a strict number two on him just yet, but if we had to play Dallas right now, I have a good feeling that Carlos Hyde would get the second most carries from a 49ers running back. What do you guys say?
What was his longest run of last game? Didn't he have that bruising run on the left side?
Where 20 yards, I believe.
Yeah, and I remember in the press box, Taylor, you were bumping into me after that run saying, there's a highlight for the site. So yeah, I've definitely been impressed with what I've seen out of him, and I don't know enough about the position battle to call him the clear number two, but I think he'll be getting some carries come week one versus Dallas, definitely.
Yeah, I would just add that those are big cleats to fill. Anthony Dixon's not here anymore. Kendall Hunter is here but not playing. Tore his ACL early in training camp. We all like what we've seen from Carlos Hyde, but those are big cleats to fill.
Yeah, there's more to it than just running the ball. You have to pick up blitzes. You have to be checked down on certain passing plays. You have to be a jack of all trades, and you have to play a little special teams. Kendall Hunter covered kicks, had a fumble recovery for a touchdown last year in Tampa Bay. Carlos Hyde, we noted that he was on the punt team as a sort of a down lineman, which is an interesting thing, but that's a role you have to play. If you want to be in the NFL, it's not just, you know, touchdowns and the glory all the time. You have to get your feet wet any way you can. This is a great question, and I know this is one for Stark. We have one from our fans who love more than just football. This is one from Stats Jeff, who says, talk about which show you thought should have won for best drama series, or just talk about Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad podcast is what Stats Jeff says. And I've watched a couple episodes, but you guys are the authority in Breaking Bad. So, humor Stats Jeff, did you think it was the show to win the Emmy, or what's just your take on Breaking Bad? Because I know you guys sort of turned me on to it last year.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the Emmys. I don't know who else was competing in that category, but I could still confidently say if Breaking Bad was in that category, Breaking Bad should have won that category. If they didn't win, I'm assuming they didn't win based on the question.
We're just working all the time. We don't know what's going on in the world, but that's the truth.
Breaking Bad was definitely the best drama series on television this past year. One of the best of all time, right up there with The Wire and The Sopranos. Wire and The Sopranos a little more comparable in the realism and the setting and the time and place and kind of the social issues it tries to tackle, where Breaking Bad, a little more stylistic, a little more of that Pulp Fiction, references pop culture, references old movies, westerns, genres. So there was really no other show like Breaking Bad, and it'll be hard to top that one. So,
but what about True Detective?
Ooh,
what if True Detective
head
to head? If you had to watch,
wow,
if you had to watch one of those over again, because Breaking Bad was good.
I'm sure that was in the nomination.
But
too.
One series of True Detective just was out there. Yeah. It was good stuff.
Yeah, True Detective by episode 4 or 5, I was like, this has done it. This is comparing to Breaking Bad. The end of the season for me kind of tailed off a little bit. I think anytime you build up a mystery that good, the resolve isn't going to feel as good as the mystery itself.
True Detective?
True Detective, yeah. But yes, that if that was in the running, I would say that isn't the closest show to get to the Breaking Bad level for me, when it comes to that genre. That was great. And I heard the next True Detective is in the mix.
Southern California. I'm not the... Yeah, Michael Blevins, our producer, is the primary source.
Yeah, we should get him on
that.
Here if we're going to talk shows.
He is all over Reddit right now, reading up. No, he's not. He's working on some videos. But in his free time, he is all over Reddit, working to understand what's going on in the True Detective world. Great question, Stats Jeff. We love the non-football stuff. I think we have a couple more in here, which you guys will like later on. All right, Rotten Redneck. I was going to go over that Twitter handle, but it was taken by Rotten Redneck, so I wasn't able to get that one. But he says, any news on Boone or Crab he said are, I think he means is. God, it's hard to fix these tweets, but
come on,
is,
guy, don't tweet
Nick. Well, he is rotten redneck, so you know we're gonna not hold it to him. Is Crab and Stevie and Brandon healthy? Well, the news on Boone is there is no news right now. One thing that just popped up on the Twitter tweet deck I have on my desk is that Logan Mankins of the New England Patriots was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are in need of some guard help, for a tight end, Tim Wright, and a draft pick, undisclosed. So that's big news because there are some whispers out there that the Bucs might be looking for a guard. Would they pair up with the Niners for Alex Boone? We don't know what's going on with the Alex Boone thing. We're not privy to that information right now. I will tell you this. Joe Looney looked pretty solid at right guard against the Chargers. So as long as he keeps holding his end of the bargain and shows that he's first team caliber, I mean, there's not much to really report on that. You know, you have to keep playing with the guys who are here, and whoever's out here, we're going to line them up and compete, and that's what Jim Harbaugh and the coaching staff are doing. They used this whole offseason to get Joe Looney ready to go, and each week he's getting, you know, progressively better. As for the wide receiver questions, Crabtree played in the game, and Stevie didn't play to start. We were wondering if he was going to play, and then lo and behold, Andrew, you pointed out to me that there's number 13, he's going in the game.
Yeah, he was there, and he was getting playing time more in the second quarter and third quarters. It was interesting to see Quentin Patton, who we mentioned earlier for his dancing antics, got the reps in that first quarter above Stevie. I know some of the beat writers were asking Coach Harbaugh about, you know, why that happened. Has Quentin Patton jumped ahead of Stevie Johnson on the depth chart? We don't know that. Harbaugh wasn't all that clear on that question. He did say, though, that Stevie has had an outstanding training camp and that he expects him to be on the 53-man roster, as we all expected. So among those three guys, Brandon Lloyd also did not play among those three.
Working through something. WTS, as I like to call it. He was WTS for that game. No, great point. Yeah, Stevie, where he fits in this offense, it sounds like he's a trusted agent. But he has to, the rosters have to be announced, and anything can happen. I mean, injuries could happen in this game. Anything could happen, so we have to sort of let that all play itself out. And my one thought to the Quentin Patton thing about getting in earlier, I was just thinking maybe they wanted to see him right away, really evaluate him. That was maybe my take.
Yeah.
That was my take on it. But you never know. The coaches, they plan all these different playing time strategies out well in advance, and they want to see guys in certain situations. And so my thought was maybe they wanted to see Patton from Jump Street in that game. Next question, Reggie at Carolina Niner. This is a name we haven't talked about at all on the 49ers website in the last few weeks. It's a sort of a underground storyline right now, and I say underground because it goes to the UK. Is Lawrence Okoye's chances of making the roster good for this season based on his performance? And Eric Stark 89, I see your Twitter handle in this one, so why don't you answer this question?
Oh, sorry, I'm dropping this Connect 4 game here.
The viewers don't know that I have Connect 4 on my desk. It's okay. In my office, I have Connect 4. And
let's just cut that chunk out, because
no,
I know you know
we
how
don't
to
make
out.
Edits
I
on
know
this
you
podcast,
know
Eric.
It.
Answer the question.
All right. Lawrence Okoye, I think he has a good chance to make the practice squad.
Okay.
Since the practice squad has been extended to 10 players.
Wow, you are dropping knowledge right now.
That is a knowledge that I have just dropped. I would say the depth at defensive line would hinder his chances of making the 53-man roster, especially with what we've seen out of Country Boy, Quentin Dial, and
Tank and Tony and DeMarcus.
Exactly.
I'll pick you up. Tank, all those guys are looking real well right now, real solid right now. Yeah, I see your point that he definitely has potential to be a practice squad player if they want to keep developing those skills. One thing to note about the practice squad is those guys have to play dual positions. They're out there to help practice go along. So if you're a wide receiver, you got to play a little cornerback or safety or tight end or however it works out, that you're out there just sort of running scout team reps. So can he play a little offensive tackle? Can he play a little tight end? What else can Lawrence Okoye do? I know he can cover kicks. We've seen him run out there, but his roster spot it's going to be tough. I mean, we haven't heard too much from him. He got injured in that first Baltimore game. And he's been sort of under the radar. The phenomenon of watching that Olympic athlete play football, it's just hard. There's 75 guys on the team right now. There's a lot of storylines, and so we haven't heard too much from Lawrence Okoye. I think that sort of shock or that initial interest is faded a little bit, but anything can happen. He goes out there against the Texans and has five sacks or something, forces a fumble, has a pick. Maybe he stays a little bit longer, so we'll have to watch that play out. Danny Glutch has the next question, and this one I think I'm going to throw to Andrew because I think it's fits up your alley. Is there legitimate philosophical grounds for the bifurcation of tuition in public universities? And I don't even think I read that right, but...
Bifurcation?
Yeah, B-I-F-U-R-C-A-T-I-O-N. Showing my public knowledge here, my public degree, but... Should we just skip that one?
I went to a public college as well, and I don't know what the word bifurcation means.
Let's get a synonym right here.
So I think that the answer to that is yes, then.
Branching or division? So is there legitimate philosophical grounds for the division of tuition in public universities?
The division of tuition at public universities.
Yeah, I really think...
So is that the price and disparity we think he means?
Yeah, I think, Danny, you could have been a lot more... funnier with this weird tweet that you sent us, man. Come on. I blame it on you. I'm pulling the Andrew card.
Usually I'm the guy making fun of the questions.
Yeah, no, Danny had an opportunity to be sort of highbrow and be silly, and you just came up with something that we can't even be funny about. So we're just going to...
Well, there is the in-state, out-of-state tuition deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm a fan of that. Like, whether you... If you live in that state, you pay less money to go to that state school. Is that not weird?
Home cooking. They want to keep their own. They want to market to their own peeps.
Yeah. But the idea is a state funded institution.
The idea of a college class, though, is that you're surrounding students with students from other backgrounds. And how can you properly do that if you're surrounding each student with people they've grown up with?
That's an interesting point.
Stay tuned for more of that in our next podcast. Last one this week, Rudy 49er. So players and team personnel be worried how our team has performed so far. Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. No. Rudy, come on, man. We talked about this last week. We weren't too freaked out or anything about that. And what happened, we went out and won a game. Looked solid. Had some good moments. And we're really not even scratching the surface on what this team can be. We have some four wide receiver sets. We're running more of that than we've ever run in the past. We have some great depth at some of these younger positions at defensive line. So it's exciting to see what this team is doing. I would not freak out right now. Even no matter what happens in this Houston Texans game, the Niners are likely going to be healthy, retooled, refit, regrouped, re-everything, ready to go. Rudy, come on, man.
I just got a text from Tyler. He says, obviously, everyone on the plane would be better off if no one reclined. The minor gain in comfort when you tilt your seat back 5 degrees is certainly offset by the discomfort when the person in front of you does the same. Educate yourself.
Passionate.
That's why we hired him. We hired him for that commentary on airplane travel. Well, everybody, this was fun. This was good times. 49ers Radio is the hashtag if you want to get involved throughout the week. Hit us up. I'm at TaylorPrice49. We have at EricStark89, at Andrew Pentis. We are always moderating the tweets, and if you want to get in the show, let us know. Bring the goods, because we're broadening our reach. We talk about the Niners. We know you're here for the Niners, but in case you want to talk about traveling or the public education tuition crisis that's going on in the world, anything you have for us,
that's
we will.
That's not funny. Don't laugh.
All right, don't laugh. Sensitive. We're going to cover that for you because we are here all the time and we love talking about the Niners and we love entertaining you guys. So look for us on iTunes. 49ers Radio is the show. Make sure you check out our mobile app. I know Stark will like this. Our mobile app is kicking real tail right now. It's got great content, photos, videos, blogs, articles, hashtags, embedded things. Anything else?
Push notifications.
Push notifications.
Yes.
All that great stuff is on our mobile app, mobile application, 49ers official app. Check it out, download it, tell a friend, high-five somebody, and be excited. The regular season is almost here. The real Michael Crabtree is coming. Andrew, you got anything you want to plug?
No, I think we covered it.
LeviStadium.com.
Yeah, that's actually a good one.
Yeah, read Andrew Pentis' work on LeviStadium.com. And we will be signing off and talking to you next week about the Dallas Cowboys. See ya.